Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, let's go around the NFL here on a Texans Victory Monday, a Black Monday as well. And it's all brought to you by Quick Assist. Got extra game day tickets? Turn them into cash with Quick Assist. Download Quick Assist from your app store today to find H-Town fans looking for seats. That's Q-U-I-C-K. A-S-Y-S-T, Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. And I guess when you talked about Black Monday and who you'd fire, somebody said they'd fire all of Fox Sports Network, Fox Sports One, for after the drama that went down. Hey, man, Nick Wright ain't do nothing. Colin Cowherd didn't get named in any of that. Mm-hmm. You know, there's still some people that are fine over there that didn't do nothing. But yes, there's a lot of drama. Again, still not sure how to talk about that. And then also, someone else mentioned ESPN. I guess they fire them for not crucifying the Patriots, firing a black coach after one season in the same way that it seemed like a lot of people crucified the Texans. I don't know if it was in that same place where it absolutely felt like a setup with the Culley thing. But nah, man, they deserve some heat, man. Robert Kraft, especially changing on a dime where they did so much on the front end, mm-hmm. making him the next guy, the handpicked successor to Belichick, that he spent so much time, and unceremoniously, immediately after that dude did media availability after game 17. Goodbye.
Yeah, and I don't know how much of it would be that as much as Kraft just preferred Vrabel. Like, that's his guy.
That's what it seemed like.
That's what
because
it feels like.
It seemed like the Vrabel to the Jets mm-hmm. kind of started heating up a little bit, where I guess he felt like he needed to make a move as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Some other things around the NFL we saw yesterday was, how did you enjoy the slate, just generally? Because there's inherently in Week 18, there's going to be quite a few games that don't really mean all that much, with some games that have some meaning that were interesting. How did the slate hit you?
I love Saturday. Saturday was good all around. Yesterday was completely hit and miss. Like, there were some where I'm just like, who cares? And I wasn't alone, obviously. But there were some, you know, I thought Falcons and Bucks, you know, trying to get their, you know, trying to angle was pretty interesting.
Peak NFC South.
Yeah.
Chicanery and nonsense. For like the first half of football, it looked like both of them were going to lose, mm-hmm. right? Because the Falcons needed the Bucks to lose and then for them to win in order to win the NFC South. And it looked like they were going to get the Saints a victory over the Bucks, only mm-hmm. for them to not really show up. So that was looking funny, but ultimately the Bucks get a victory. And in doing that, they also make sure to get, in the final minute of the game, this to happen.
Mayfield throwing. Evans! He's got it! He ties it! Jerry Rice has company!
Yep.
I loved it.
1,000 receiving yards on the season after I think he missed something like five games.
That's the thing I
in
love.
In the middle.
Yeah.
But they made sure to get him that 1,000 yards receiving so that he has had 1,000 yards receiving in every one of his seasons, which counts as 11 straight years. And he joins Hall of Famer Jerry Rice as the only players to achieve that feat. 11 straight years. And honestly, he's the only one to do it from the start of his career.
Right. Jerry Rice and Mike Evans. That's the list. That's all you need to
go
know.
Go ahead and right? make the bus.
Yeah,
right?
That's all you need to know right there. That's the list. So I liked it. Some people were criticizing it, and I was like, come on, man. That's missing five games. If he had played 14, 15, 16 games and then did it, maybe I could see your point. He missed all those games and still got 1,000. I mean, it was incredible for him to do that.
Yeah, injury kind of stopped him there. And then also, that getting that 1,000-yard mark allowed him to reach an incentive, $3 million contract incentive for hitting that. Which
good work.
I feel like, especially if you look at that Tampa Bay Bucks team, who deserves it more than him? Like, he is absolutely, he has been a staple in that team, on that team, in that market for a long time. Yeah, that it's nice to see good guys win. And it felt like that was absolutely one of the things for the Texas A&M grad, Mike Evans, to get in there. Also, I think one of the fun games on this was Sunday night.
That's what I was going to say. I loved last night's. Dan Campbell, Kevin O'Connell's going to get Coach of the Year. I don't know, man. To do what he did, what Dan Campbell did, you know, after the heartbreak last year, the injuries.
However.
A bye, a first-round bye.
Yeah, man, this has got to be aspirational for obviously the Texans, just seeing a team who was, what was like 12-22 in the first couple of seasons, and then seeing them be as good as they've been the last two, including winning the number one seed in the NFC after having all the injuries that you mentioned. Man, their defense won them that game as well. They had Sam Darnold shook,
Anzalone and all those guys. Yeah,
they barely got Anzalone back, but they've had so many defensive injuries. That being said, we know what the Coach of the Year award is. It's some ways a narrative award because it's not just who did a great job, but who did a great job in a situation where we did not expect as nearly as much. And that clearly seems to fit with the Vikings. I mean, Sam Darnold, we talk about him as like the most coveted quarterback to be out there in the market, period, this offseason. That's in large part because of the offense that is there, in addition to the fact that Brian Flores obviously did a great job on defense and everything. But it was a fun game. Were you surprised that it wasn't necessarily the shootout that we were expecting? Obviously, the Lions started putting up points there in the second half, and it really opened up. But early on, it was a knockdown, drag-out game.
Yeah, a little bit, but that atmosphere, too, in Detroit has got to be, if not the best, certainly top three in the NFL. They just bring it. You can tell that it's also new, the energy level on the field, off the field, everything about it is next level. So I love that one. I love Saturday's games. Hit and miss during Sunday's effort. LA Chargers, because that we had a vested interest in that one as well. So it was hit and miss, but overall I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and with that, obviously, we've now fully gotten established the playoffs, including the Houston Texans in the Houston Texans Memorial game, which is Saturday at 3:30. That'll be on CBS and Nickelodeon. You got any interest in the Nickelodeon game?
We're going to be there, so maybe if I if
look
I
at him, some, look him dodging, he dodging.
See some highlights. No, it's always interesting. Nickelodeon does a better job than what was the other one that we saw
with the ESPN game with the Toy Story is the one I keep coming back to.
Simpsons
recently.
Simpsons was okay. But I like the Nickelodeon one. People getting slimed. Yeah. The graphics are so much better.
Yeah, not playoffs though, man.
Sure, why
like
not?
If the Texans were on the road and this was an option, I wouldn't. I probably not.
I just look at the highlights.
I need to focus.
I can't watch these games on when it's the team that you're watching. When it's a team that you don't care as much about, you don't have an investment in.
Yeah.
It's a lot more fun to do that because now you can just enjoy it.
Even if it was like a regular season game, I flip over and kind of check it out a little bit. But playoffs, I got to focus, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we got our playoffs. The wild card matchups are set. Obviously, the Chiefs get a bye, but Texans, as we mentioned, facing the Chargers, who are open as a 2.5-point favorite. Actually, I think they opened as a 3-point favorite on the road here in Houston. Or I guess I could say it the other way: the Texans open as 3-point dogs on their own field, which is kind of wild. Ravens Steelers, we get an AFC North matchup that should be good, and then Bills Broncos. I think all three of those are really good on the AFC side and the NFC side. Rams Vikings, the Vikings get to be a very strong wild card team. Buccaneers Commanders, and then Eagles Packers. all the matchups that we've got there. We'll talk more about those as we go during the week. I do want to come back around to, we were talking a little bit about Miami. That might have been in the break. Mm-hmm. We were talking about Miami, and, you know, I think that, you know, the questions that might be there for McDaniel. There's mm-hmm. a lot of mix in this league. Mike McDaniel, the head coach there. But there's not a lot of questions, or maybe Tyreek Hill doesn't want there to be a lot of questions about whether or not he will return, because he was talking to the media after that loss to end the season, and he said this.
Like I said, man, I just got to do what's best for me and my family, dog. If that's here, or that's wherever the case may be, man, I'm finna open that door for myself, dog. As I'm opening the door, like, I'm out, bro. You know, so it was great playing here, but, you know, at the end of the day, bro, I got to do what's best for, you know, for my career, and, you know, what's best, because I'm too much of a competitor to be, you know, just out there.
Mean you thinking about leaving?
If it is, hey, if yeah, it gets.
He was trying so hard not to say it, yeah. But you already said it. You said, I'm out. Like, yeah, man, that feels very
so
evident.
So you leaving?
Yes. And to make that more clear, he tweeted out later, at Cheetah on X, love Finn Nation, blessing y'all, open doors for the Hill family forever. Nothing but respect and love, which very much sounds like a
y'all got out. Me my money.
The best part of that whole thing is like the first 20 seconds or so, he tried to be tactful with it. He tried to like not say it, but just kind of indicate, you know, whatever works, whatever's best for me, got to look out for my family. And then he just said, screw it. I'm out, bro.
Well, I mean, he had already gone to a place where he was willing to go to, I guess, drastic measures, if you want to call it that. Yeah. There was a little bit of a back and forth as to what actually happened mm-hmm. with him in that game versus the Jets. Because at some point,
yeah.
he said that like there was a level of injury, or that Mike McDaniel was the one who had said, you know, looked up and seen that the scores were not going to their favor on the scoreboard, and so that the idea would be that he would be held out.
And the other team lost. I think the other team won.
And Mike McDaniel was looking at his availability. He said that it was Tyreek, or he was told that Tyreek was not available.
Yeah.
So there was a little bit of questions as to what happened, but I think ultimately the consensus is what you said there, Lopez. Yeah. That man decided that he's not playing, which... Yeah. That's a bad look, right?
Yeah, that's always a bad look, especially a veteran like that getting paid that much money. But yeah, clearly he said on the sideline and then in the post game, I'm out.
Yeah. When somebody say at the end of the day, and I think in the longer clip, he said, it is what it is. You know that brother gone, man. When you say at the end of the day and it is what it is, in the same statement.
Yeah.
Nah, he out.
Now, with that being said, like, he is still a dynamic wide receiver.
Yes, he is.
30 years old. Next year, and our next season will be his age 31 season. Mm-hmm. But as I mentioned, still dynamic. Not a terrible contract to be, you know, the next season is what he has on the books. And I believe that cap hit, as it looks right now, is $28 million.
What you trying to say? Mm-hmm. What you trying to say?
Just asking questions.
Nick Caserio?
Just asking questions.
Texans?
Would that be something that you might be interested considering the wide receiver situation?
Hell yes. Okay. Absolutely. 100%. Would you rather have Stephon Diggs or Tyreek Hill?
I mean, I think Tyreek still creates a matchup problem for defense.
Biggie?
Yeah. That's not a question.
It's not a question.
Well, especially also, Tyreek Hill ain't coming off of a major injury, with all due respect to
Stephon Diggs. And Tyreek a little younger, right? I don't think he that much younger.
A year or two, probably?
Like a year younger.
Yeah.
Somebody said Hill wouldn't open the door for that police officer. Okay. All right.
All right.
But I will say, it does feel like some level of vindication for the Chiefs. Although, look, man, the Chiefs have been bandying about like just cycling in just dudes to play wide receiver. However, they took the gamble on, we would rather not pay the wide receiver who is, you know, predicated on speed mm-hmm. into his age 30-something seasons. We'll opt for keeping that money and using that elsewhere. And of course, maybe you just go, the Chiefs would have won regardless, the back to back championships that they won. But he's gone, and I mean, he's played very well for Miami, don't get me wrong. And there's other circumstances
with
in
bad
there.
Quarterback play.
Ooh, look at him being spicy.
No, yeah. Okay.
You got Tua Hayden.
I thought Tua was your guy.
No. Well, when Tua went, he was better with Tua.
Tua Hayden is hard. Oh, no. Okay. You're talking about the fact that they put out my guy, Spencer Thompson, out there.
That's what I'm talking about.
Skylar Thompson.
Skylar, that's right. I said his name wrong.
Yeah.
And he's a whole K-Stater. My bad. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's all happening there. Tyreek Hill, it'll be interesting to see once we get into the offseason where he ends up, what's happening with him. How about this, though? I want to get a feel for what you feel about this particular move, because start or sit was a lot of conversation this week. As obviously, it makes sense going into the playoffs. There's teams that have nothing to play for, trying to figure out how to remain healthy and give themselves the best opportunity to win in the upcoming week or weeks. Josh Allen, starting quarterback for the Bills, and I say that word in that phrase very particularly. He started again versus New England by playing one play. He handed the ball off and immediately trotted off the field. That he did that in order to maintain a streak of 105 starting games, which is the longest active streak for any quarterback. It is more than double the next closest streak, which Jared Goff has. You got any problem with doing this?
Not only do I not have any problem, I think for Josh Allen and most NFL players, especially quarterbacks, that's more important than just about any incentive. I really do believe that, unless it's like a $3 million incentive, you know, like Mike Evans got, that's important. But if you said you're going to get a $300,000 incentive if you don't play, or you can play start for 105th consecutive time, he would take that every day. Like, quarterbacks really love that they can be that durable and start every game.
I do appreciate the people talking about the Tyreek saying, I mean, the season's over. You can't really blame him. And yes, almost what you pay for Stephon Diggs. Okay. Interesting. We'll mull over that. We'll mull over that. And real quick, it is Black Monday, and the Black Monday hits keep coming. As for one, offensive coordinator for the Seahawks, Ryan Grubb, has been relieved of his duties. And now we're getting even more. I feel like this is going to be the bit. How many people will the Jets request for interview? Because now added to the list of, you know, Vance Joseph and Bobby Slowick and Aaron Glenn and who else? Matt Nagy. Now added to that list, Brian Flores and Josh McCown.
Oh, my gosh.
We're still making the Josh McCown thing happen, baby. Gosh. It's still going to happen. Remember, they've already interviewed Vrabel and Ron Rivera. Rex Ryan is up there. Joe Brady, the offense coordinator for the Bills, is up there. Arthur Smith, Brian Greasy, who I mentioned earlier, and... general manager, they're doing those things too. But
Rex Ryan?
Yes, but yeah, Rex Ryan is in there.
But he got the job, right?
That's what he says.
According to him. Yeah. Let him tell it.
So they're at a baker's dozen?
Let me see if I do my math correctly here. That looks about, I think we're at 12.
12?
I think we're at 12.
Man, I want to try getting in on this job interview.
Well, just make a call. I'm sure you will.
Do we have any numbers on this? Do we have any numbers on what the over-under is? For how many people the Jets interview?
In today's world, that's probably going
to
come up.
I need to go see if look these up. There's people on the text line that are stumping real hard. Irwin, in fact, on the text line, stumping hard that Mike Evans will be back as a Houston Texan. Will be here as a Houston Texan, obviously Galveston boy and everything. I have a hard time believing that he doesn't end his career in Tampa.
Well, yeah, he was on the list too. Saquon and Mike Evans were offered.
Because there was a time period where it looked like he wasn't going to get a deal done.
Saquon and Mike Evans.
That could have been a problem. not going to lie. Could have been a problem. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. That's around the NFL. Let's shake some things up. D'Amico Ryan's going to be talking to the Assembly Media, so we'll get that going at the top of the hour as we head into the top of the hour. So here, let's get into what's popping, including a Rockets victory, and maybe I'll try and get into whatever the hell that Fox Sports thing was. We'll do it next.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, we're doing What's Poppin' here is D'Amico Ryans is set to talk right after this. So we flipped it around. Make sure that you can hear your Monday dose of the head coach of the Houston Texans, D'Amico Ryans, after a 23-14 victory over the Tennessee Titans. Wearing the Oilers jerseys. Oh, just disrespectful. You'll hear more about that later. But one of the things that was popping is during the course of that game, while that game was on, or no, not that game, because we got into some games afterwards, the next slate, while the afternoon slate was going, once the Texans had, you know, finished their job, 10-7 on the season, the Houston Rockets welcomed in the Los Angeles Lakers to finish out a five-game homestand, and they got a victory. They held off the Lakers. Lakers made a late charge. You know, there was this game had gotten out. It is, the lead had swelled up pretty big around halftime. The Rockets really got out and pushed the pace, got ahead, and then the Lakers started knocking down more shots. The defense was not as lovely as it typically is, but the Rockets held on, made sure to win in 119-115. After I think Anthony Davis had a 30-point game, but there was some really solid play by Amen Thompson, who got the start after Jabari Smith. We learned in shoot around,
yeah,
that he broke his hand.
4 to 6 weeks.
4 to 8 weeks is the numbers that I saw there for Jabari Smith, which is we'll talk about that more later. I'm real interested in what that's going to mean for this team, but Amen notched a career high in rebounds. He had 16 of those things with 23 points and 3 assists. First start in Jabari Smith's stead after, you know, he got done with the suspension, came back for that. Jalen Green also had a fantastic game. Continued his run of pretty good play, really good play, in fact, over the last, you know, few weeks. Super efficient first quarter, going 7 of 8 there, and then finished with 33 points, six assists, 4 rebounds. And so, man, they put it all together. They needed exactly what they got from those guys. And Steven Adams, who returned to form in this game, including saying that his knee feels like before the injury, which is a great time because you're going to need some of that backup play without Jabari.
Like you hit the high points there, but all I want to add is, you know, we were talking last week about, you know, they got to finish. They got to be able to finish a game. Not only did they finish, but they were challenged and still were able to finish that game. You know, you mentioned the Lakers making a run late. That was impressive. And Amen Thompson, just ask Steven Adams about his athleticism, because it was off the charts. It was on display, finishing, running the floor, defending, all that. And you needed all of it, you know, especially with Jabari Smith out.
You say ask Steven Adams about that audio. We can do that, or about that athleticism. We can do that right now.
Amen's ability to rebound at such a high level, how much of that is just instincts for him?
It's definitely instincts. And again, it's a tough thing to go every time. His crash rate is probably pretty high. I don't know the numbers, but like, he goes every time. You know what I mean? And you see him, he's always got a... You can see he tracks the ball really well. And just his spring, bro, he's so fast at getting up there. Insane. Yeah, insane, dude.
Does that mean remind you of anybody that you played with in the past, or the way that his competitiveness is?
No. One of a kind, bro. I haven't played with anyone like this. His speed, like, even just... His speed is just, like, unbelievable. And then just his second jump, first jump is so quick off the ground. It's crazy, bro. I actually haven't seen like that type of athleticism, to be honest.
That's a dude who's played with John Morant and Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, Westbrook.
Yeah. Talking about his speed, his athleticism is unlike anything. And then he has
a cool accent too, man.
Yes, he does.
Aussie, baby.
The Kiwi. Kiwi. Yeah.
Oh, Kiwi.
New Zealand.
Right.
Yeah. And, but I mean, man, high praise from a dude who's consummate pro in this league, been around a little bit, and he deserves it. Amen Thompson, like, you can see just how much he means to this team. The lead was up to 22 for the Rockets, and it you know, kind of came down a few times, got as close as,
but they,
I think,
closed.
Like two.
Yeah.
They closed, and it helps that you have, you know, Jalen Green kind of being a little bit of that guy who was able to penetrate and such. So they finished that five-game stand. Unfortunately, I think it was like 2-3 in there, but a good victory holding off the Lakers by the Houston Rockets, and, you know, kind of finding what it's going to look like for maybe the next month or two without Jabari Smith Jr. Some other things that are popping in this one. I don't even know what to do here, man. Front Office Sports came out with a report about Fox Sports, the TV network that employs obviously the likes of Colin Cowherd and Nick Wright, and it previously had Skip Bayless. He ends up being one of the biggest names, as him and 14 other people, or four, and others, not 14 others, but him and other people were sued on 14 counts, including sexual battery. The suit has so many details. It was brought forward by a former hairstylist that worked there for quite a while. And she said that Skip Bayless, amongst other things, it alleged that Skip Bayless offered her $1.5 million to have sex with him. And mind you, the details of this were, she, you know, Skip Bayless, who I think there's a lot of people that don't like him generally, but I think we all kind of have a general feel for him. Seems a little bit skeevy, right?
Oh, for sure.
Apparently he had been in that vein, if you are to believe what the lawsuit alleges, right? Just kind of doing things. hugging too long, that kind of guy, that kind of stuff.
Pressing and, up against her.
Yeah, she ain't like that, so she was trying to like kind of keep her distance, and she believed herself to have cancer, and she kind of tried to use that as an opportunity to create a buffer. And at that point, that man offered $1.5 million for activities.
Well, we all knew Skip Bayless had a lot of money. I didn't know he had that much money, first of all, but $1.5 million. And the whole thing just reeks. It's just so yucky, icky. I mean, the whole thing. And then, of course, Joy Taylor gets involved, and, that's making the headline.
Word, what's she doing? What happened? What's she do? Break it down, Lopez.
Let me see. Let me do it.
ISO.
Let me do a search on that. She doesn't look great. And look, I was mentioning this to you guys, and I'll say it on the air. I always feel bad that women involved in these types of things somehow become like they're frowned upon, they're criticized unfairly. Depending on what you believe on these reports, I don't know how unfair some of this stuff is. And that's sad, because there are a lot of women that are sadly, you know, victimized like this, and then they're portrayed as some sort of perpetrator, whatever you want to term you want to use. This is just ugly, and she doesn't come across looking very well at all.
No, Skip Bayless. There's an executive, TV executive, who Dixon. I can't remember his first name. Charlie Dixon. Yeah. So those
I
are probably
to say he was the vice president of the content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Executive vice president of content there at Fox Sports, at Fox Sports One, all that stuff. Yeah, man, a real nasty workplace environment, it seems, from the allegations of this.
Manuel Acho's involved.
Manuel Acho's name pops up.
Hey, he showed up to work like nothing happened.
Yeah, he did.
He just went on, did talk some football, just kept it moving. Mm. So I'm guessing Joy Taylor probably do the same thing when her show come up.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, that's the way we... So yeah, man, there's a lot of detail in there, and man, it is real salacious when you read the 42-page document lawsuit that was obtained by Front Office Sports. I will not bore you with the details. I might find a time to actually like, these are the wildest parts of this. But as of right now, yeah, man, it's real nasty. Skip Bayless comes out looking bad. I don't know how many people had good estimations of him. Mm-hmm. TV executive looks bad. Was that surprising? The surprising part was Joy Taylor. Oof.
Yeah.
Oof. Tough day. That's what's popping here in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Let's go to break, because coming up next, let's get you the Monday press conference of the head coach of the Houston Texans, DeMeco Ryans. We'll do it next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Mokarum Injury Lawyers Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right. It's a victory Monday after a Texans 23-14 victory over the Tennessee Titans in Nashville. And right now, let's go to NRG Stadium to hear from the head coach of the Houston Texans, DeMeco Ryans.
Everybody bundled up.
The biggest
Chargers and some of the matchups. What do you think of them overall as a football team and the way they're coached?
Yeah, man, we're really excited about this matchup versus the Chargers. Really well-coached football team. You can see Coach Harbaugh's imprint on the football team instantly, just how sound they are in all three phases. Very sound football team. They can run. They're very, very balanced offensively. Run the ball well, and of course, Justin Herbert is one of the better quarterbacks in the league. And he's done a really great job, I think, of just protecting the football. Right, he doesn't turn the ball over a lot, and it's a lot to be said for a quarterback who does that. Right, really puts his team in really good situations to move down the field. They're good on third down. Defensively, I think Coach Mentor has done a really good job with this team. Just eliminating the deep pass. They do a really good job of, playing the shell coverages, mixing the coverages up. And this week we got to find number three, Derwin James. He's all over the place. Talk about blitzing, safety, nickel, whatever DB position you want to call it. Like, Derwin is playing lights out. He's an impact player. We have to have awareness for where he is at all times. Their edge rusher is also a good player. He's been doing it for a long time. Mack and Bosa, a really good tandem there on the edge. So, we have our hands full, as should be, in a playoff matchup, but we're excited to go against a really good football team.
You talked about it a little bit after the game yesterday. How much what you saw yesterday really helps you guys do some of these things you just addressed that have to happen? Can you talk about that?
Yeah, what we did on yesterday, it was just No, it was just getting back to, for me, just getting back to the basics. I said just playing football the right way. For us, just going out and executing. As I know, I've mentioned that a lot, and that's what it looks like when our guys do it the right way, just eliminating negative plays offensively, putting together a solid drive, moving the football, and finishing with points. That's something that we've been harping on, something we have to do better, and we were able to do that yesterday, and I'm pleased with the outing that our guys had, and I thought they did a really good job there.
Miko, how have you seen CJ evolve in his leadership in his second year, and do you have any examples of how you've seen him maybe change, or if maybe hasn't changed? I don't know.
Yeah, for CJ, when it comes to the leadership piece, it's from CJ being authentic. As I think everyone sees when CJ is here and his interviews and everything, CJ is authentic. He's real. It's not only here, it's in the locker room, around the guys. And that's what leadership is to me. Like, as you evolve as a leader, you just be authentic to yourself. You don't have to make up anything or make up a speech or make up something to say to guys. You're just, CJ is being CJ. And that's what our guys feed off. CJ just being himself, being authentic as a leader, understanding that it's not all on him, right? As a leader, it's all of our guys just buying in, doing what they have to do. But also CJ understanding a lot of guys are looking up to him on the team. And, you know, he takes that role seriously, but it's not a heavy weight for him, right? Because we have other leaders as well around him, with Will, Aziz, other guys that step up. So, you know, I'm proud of CJ and how he's, you know, continued to grow as a pro, and it's only his second year. And he'll continue to thrive and be better, you know, as a leader of our team.
In a similar vein, you know, CJ played well Sunday. How do you like where he is? Because obviously he's been tough on himself, but how do you like where he is playing-wise and as you all prepare for this match?
You know, we're all in a good spot, man. We're ready to go play football. Like, we're here. It's the playoffs. We're ready to go play football. Just, can we be the best team on Saturday? That's all that matters for us.
We're speaking about Herbert again. He doesn't get too much credit about his running ability. How can you take us around that challenge you will face then?
With Herbert, and he's a good quarterback all around. When it comes to, for me, it starts with him throwing the football and just the weapons that he has. The one that sticks out to me is McConkey. Right, the guy from Georgia, man, he's an elite route runner. Very shifty, moves all over the place. And you can tell they have that instant connection between, you know, McConkey and Herbert. And it's a real connection. He's all over the field, making plays for him, catching a lot of footballs. And he's a dynamic player. I think he has a very bright future in this league.
In your estimation, I mean, you've been around the playoffs quite a bit in your career. Is there a different level that everyone gets to this time of year?
At this level, of course, the intensity, it picks up, right? Everybody understands what's on the line, what's at stakes here. So the intensity definitely picks up. And the game is sped up, it's faster, it's more physical, and that's what playoff football is about. So we'll, of course, you get your opponent's best, they're going to get our best. That's what everybody likes to see. That's why you want to be here this time of the year, still playing playoff football. It's everything is sped up, everything is more physical, it's more exciting all the way across the board. So we're excited about it.
Jamaica, the play of the O-line, can you talk a little bit about that? Success you guys had yesterday. Knowing you're going to have Mixon back this week, obviously, as well, but here's all stuff to think that.
With our offensive line, I thought our guys did a good job yesterday. Just when it comes to when it came to the run game, you know, staying on block, staying attached, and that allowed us to have some success in the run game with Joe and DP running the football. But our O-line did a really nice job of creating some lanes there. And of course, our backs, DP, of course, did a really great job playing on great vision. When the space wasn't there, he was able to create on his own and break a really long run there. So proud of DP for what he was able to do. And O-line also with the protection. Thought they did a really nice job of giving our quarterbacks time. Quarterback stepped up in the pocket, both CJ and Davis, and made some nice plays off schedule there. So, I mean, we're headed in the right direction. We just have to be more consistent all the way across the board.
What do you make of their offensive line? It feels like a pretty good tackle duo. Probably one of the better ones you guys have faced. They're pretty decent interior, and seems like they've been able to get a couple different running backs going at different times this year.
Yeah, their offensive line is one of the strengths of their team, right? Starting with the tackles, two, you know, the left tackle and right tackle were two really good players. And we have two good players on the edge as well, so that'll be a matchup that I think everybody's looking forward to. And we have to find a way to win on the edge versus their top players. Interior-wise, they also do a good job of working together. They ran the ball well, different backs at different times and ran the ball well. It's going to take a collective effort, right, all the way across the board. For us defensively, I think the key will be our interior D linemen playing really well versus some of the run schemes that they have.
What advantage do you see? You and CJ and Will, last year was the first time that y'all were in the playoffs. What advantage do y'all feel more, I guess the word is, comfortable heading into the playoffs this year as compared to last year?
To me, it's right here, 2025 now. I almost said 2024, but right now, 2025, we're just focused on the present of, you know, our team, what we have here now. Last year was last year. Entirely different locker room, different group of guys. Like, how do we make the most of our opportunity here right now with the guys that we have? Just want our guys to, you know, really live in that moment, right, of where we are right here, right now with what we have. Let's go make the most of it.
Obviously, Will had a really great rookie season, but do you feel like having Daniil with him has elevated his game to another level?
Yeah, Will is definitely had an outstanding year this year as well. He's gotten better, probably double his production. He's gotten so much better. Run game, pass game, just overall, like, to take the leap that he's taken his second year has been really impressive to see him, you know, take that leap. And he's a dynamic player for an impact player for us, leader, like everything you want. And I think Daniil has definitely helped him, you know, having Daniil and just their relationship, their bond, and what Will was able to learn from Daniil when it came to just, I think, at the top of the rush, like that moment of truth, being able to find ways to escape and finish on the quarterback. And I think having Daniil here to have another guy to listen to, along with Coach Rod and Coach Native doing an outstanding job all the way across the board. Our entire D-line has done a great job, been a strength of our defense this year, and proud of all the guys, coaches, and the players. They've all done a really great job.
Coach, on last year, you all, you know, had the success that you all had, and some people, you know, weren't expecting that, especially with what the franchise had been through the previous 3 years. And so you all were learning to deal with that, you know, as far as what came with that success. This year, heading into the playoffs, you all came in into this season expecting to be, you know, where you are on the trajectory that you all are. How are your younger players dealing with that now and their mindset heading into this second year as far as going into the playoffs?
The mindset of our young guys, like, they just want to play. They love playing football, right? And that's how I like them. Like, their mentality is straightforward. Like, let's get to it. What's the next opponent? What's the game plan? Let's go to work. And that's how I want our guys to be. It's just laser focused on what matters right now, right? And we'll have guys who have experience in the playoffs, guys who don't have experience. At the end of the day, for me, when the ball is snapped, like, are you doing your job or are you not? Are you playing with the Texans' relentless mindset or not? Like, that's what matters, right? And our young guys, older guys, it doesn't matter. Our team collectively, we have to play complementary football. Everybody has to, we have to play smart football, eliminate mistakes, right? Play together, and that'll be good enough for us.
You mentioned kind of playing with a fresh start, forgetting about last year and just living in the moment now. Is that also kind of applied to this just completed regular season, how we got here, what it did, all that? Kind of just, we're here now, let's go play?
Yeah, we're here now, let's go play. For me, like, nothing else matters, right? It's how you playing right now. Are you playing your best ball going into the playoffs? Like, that's what matters most, right? And are you able to consistently keep up with that when you are in the playoffs? Can you continue to play good ball? Can you continue to play the game the right way, not make silly mistakes? Can you put yourself in favorable positions? Can we, you know, get better scoring in the red zone, defending in the red zone? Those situational elements of the game, third down, red area, those are the areas where we have to be really good at here in the playoffs, because, you know, good teams aren't going to make mistakes. You have to find a way to beat them.
Last year, have Bobby Slowick involved in the hiring cycle with him being requested by the Jets. Where do you see him grow as a coach? And obviously not every season is as smooth as last year. Where do you see him deal with the ups and downs of the season?
Yeah, I don't know if any season is smooth, right? You have a lot of ups and downs, even, you know, when you're winning, kind of those things kind of go under the rug. But there are ups and downs as coaches, and as coaches you have to grow and evolve. You have to do things different, and sometimes you set out to do, or you have a mindset of doing things one particular way, and you always have to kind of tweak those things and do what's best for the guys that you have and what they're capable of doing. So I see where I think Bobby has definitely grown in that area of being able to adjust and put our guys in position to where they can be successful.
People always say that, you know, football is a game of inches, but when it gets to the playoffs, how slim are those margins, and in what ways, like, are the details even that much more important when this level is winnable?
At this level, right, if you make a mistake, like, it can cost you. It being every game is sort of like that, but here in the playoffs, even more so because, right, all the teams that are here, they deserve to be here, right, and they wouldn't be here if they weren't good teams. So if you give good teams like more opportunities to go score, they're going to find a way to score. So you cannot have, right, the mental mistakes here in the playoffs, right? You cannot have the penalties, like all those things where field position is definitely a huge battle, and we have to win that field position battle each and every game, and it's even more paramount now. But it's just a matter of being on the details, man, being confident in what we're doing and going play.
Deontay, we saw a little bit of him yesterday. Yeah. How confident are you that he can really help you guys this week, and do you think he can be more part of what happens on
the field? Deontay, I was really impressed with his last week of practice. I thought he picked up on the things we were asking him to do. I thought he really has really nice catches, nice plays throughout practice, and he got in the game. We were able to get him a little involved in the game as well, and I thought he handled himself really well. We'll start to continue to feed him more, see how he can help us. The skill set, the talent is there. It's just a matter of him just integrating into our offense and making sure, you know, we put him in positions to where we can accentuate his talents, because he's a talented player. He's made a ton of plays in this league, and it's exciting to see what he's able to do on the practice field. So I'm excited to see that come to life and on game day. So he's done a great job. Happy to work with Deontay. He's been a pleasure to work with.
D'Amico, for players who, like, choose to do their rehab here, who are on the IR, and I'm thinking of a guy like Jalen Petrie, in what ways do they help and are still part of the team even though they can't really play?
Yeah, Jalen has done a great job of just being around each and every day. Like, even though he has rehab and all those things, Jalen is still in our meetings. He's out at practice. Like, he cares. Like, he's involved. He wants to help other guys. And, you know, it just speaks to who Jalen is as a man and why he's our Walter Payton Man of the Year recipient, because he's just – it's bigger than football to him. Like, he has that heart to help others, not only here in the building when he can't go out and physically play. Like, he has that heart to help others in the community as well, with the meals program that he's helping his kids with and here in Houston. So, man, I'm just happy to have Jalen around. Love having him around. You can't have enough special people around. Jalen is one of those special young men that I love to coach.
Coach, a lot of your colleagues, now former colleagues, are, you know, losing their jobs, you know, at the end of the regular season. We all know that this day comes. But for you to, some even after 1 year, how hard is it to have the type of success and be the type of coach that you are in those first 2 years, knowing that that window is so short?
And for me, man, just look at every day as a blessing, and I attack it that way. Like, I'm grateful for the opportunity I have to serve here with the Texans. I'm grateful for the people that I get to work with. I think that's what makes it even better, is just the people, right? The players, the staff, the support staff, ownership, just everybody being on the same page, right? It helps, like, us move in a direction where we want to go, right? And that's continue to progress, continue to move our organization forward, and that's everybody being on the same page. So I'm happy to work with the people I work with, and they understand our business, understand how tough it is to be successful each and every year in this league. So I never take it for granted, right? And I'm thankful for our guys and their attitude and for them, the way they work, anything I ask those guys to do, they're about it. So that's what makes it easy for me. And, man, it's a blessing to be a head coach of an NFL football team. And I never lose sight of that, never lose a sight of how hard it is to be successful. It's unfortunate when you see guys lose their jobs. And also, I think unfortunate part about it is also you just see it's almost like everybody's waiting to see what happens. Like, that's kind of a little upsetting to me. Like, if you're kind of hanging around waiting to see something bad that happens to someone else. But have to think about the families that are involved, not only the head coach, but the other coaches who are on staff, kids who are in school. It's bigger than just, oh, this coach got fired and that's the news cycle and let's keep it moving. Like, I think about the families who are affected by those moves, and it's deeper than just the head coach moving on and you get someone else. All right. Thank you, guys.
There you go. Head coach of the Houston Texans, D'Amico Ryans, talking to the Assembled Media after, after a 23-14 victory against the Titans yesterday. We'll break more of that down, maybe even next, but especially coming up next in the loop. It's time for the OG's passing thoughts after a victory in Tennessee. We'll do that next.